Monday, May 6th. What time is it?
5:41.
5:41. We'll call our Citizens Advisory Committee meeting to order. And roll call, please. Who wants to do roll call? Me? Deb.
Are you on my team?
I can do it.
Okay. Committee member Dan Ekstrom.
Here.
Dennis Luttrell.
Here.
Arlene Lopez.
Here.
Scott Sears.
Here.
Dwight Metzger.
Here.
And let the record reflect that Karen Carl has been excused. And we have our vice chairperson.
Melissa Brown Dominguez present.
Okay.
We don't have, and we don't have approval, any minutes to approve, do we? Nobody took minutes.
There was minutes provided in the email.
Yeah, in the email.
Oh.
It was like 88 pages.
Yeah, open it.
It was a verbatim transcript.
Oh, from
the
museum.
Do that.
Maybe you could copy us later on.
Well, they were in the email for the notice of the meeting.
Okay, well, there's a little coverage in the print 80 pages out, I think.
Should motion to approve?
Well,
so we have to wait until everybody reads them?
Should we make a motion if there's a majority?
I mean, if it's a transcript of what we said.
Mm-hmm. And there was no action at the last minute.
No.
There was more, conversation, review.
It's verbatim.
I make a motion to approve.
It's good.
Okay.
Yes, roll call. Okay. Committee member Dan Ekstrom?
Yes.
Dan Sotrell?
No.
Arlene Lopez?
Yes.
Scott Sears?
Yes.
Right, Metzger?
I haven't seen
yes.
it. Can't approve them.
And, okay. Melissa Brown Dominguez.
Approve.
Okay.
Is that for both sets?
Is that for both? Is this a motion to approve the minutes for April 22nd, 2024, and April 30th, 2024?
That's correct. I think
that's
a motion.
Correct.
So I want to make sure the record reflects that the motion was to approve the minutes for both April 22nd, 2024. And April 30th, 2024, there was five A's and one A.
Correct.
Okay. Let's move on to the briefing.
Just to provide a brief recap of the last meeting we had, Mr. Reeder provided us with an updated presentation in which he included an additional $2 million, which could be sold for bonds at a future date. I think it was 2029. Mm-hmm. Should there be capacity in the property valuations at that point? The purpose for that was it would free up more general fund dollars. Because after 2029, then we would no longer have the $400,000 savings. But with that transaction, then the city would have $400,000 and an additional $200,000 in savings. Another thing that would help achieve is the payoff of current bonds, the 2019 bonds, which have a long history. They've just been kicked down.
Help buy it down.
It helps, yes, correct. It helps pay it down.
In the 1980s, wasn't it?
Yes, it's been rolling forward since the 1980s, for decades. So this proposal that was provided by Mark is a really good proposal. You can see it on the screen there. Again, it helps achieve $400,000 in savings up through 2029. And then in 2029, but through the issuance of an additional $2 million, then you have additional savings. And I think that at the last meeting, the direction from you all to Mark was just to work a little more on the ballot language. I think that's what I gathered. So no other scenarios to run, just work on ballot language.
I don't think we took like a straw vote or where people are at. I got a sense people are largely supportive, but I wonder who has questions now. Are there concerns about this as is? Does anyone have questions? So,
Yeah, I'm used to business forms like a profit and loss statement and a balance sheet. Is there something like a balance sheet for the city?
Yes, we do. We have a balance sheet that's currently posted online.
Okay.
It is the audited financials through fiscal year 2023.
Okay. You know, just in thinking of the city assets, you know, like for example, we have the $10 million retirement debt. And I was just thinking about what the city has. And I would say if you liquidate all the assets of the city, you probably couldn't come close to $10 million. And excluding roads, I'm talking about the city hall. I'm talking about the other stuff. I don't know. And if the city went to a bank to borrow money, I think that they would probably laugh at about its ability and about its assets. But maybe somebody's got more of a feel for what the city's at. It's almost like the city's upside down financially.
No, it is. Well, the city has to file bankruptcy if the bond doesn't pass.
City can't file bankruptcy. It's called municipal debt readjustment.
Yeah, and then a judge runs it.
Yeah.
What happens then? What does that do?
A judge is in control of the city and finances.
Okay. The federal court does it.
In a nutshell, what is our total debt for the city? There's 12, almost 13 million for the fund, the pension fund. There's this bond that we're trying to pay down on.
It's about around 20 million.
20 million.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Vice Chair.
The total revenue that this would bring in is how much?
Total revenue?
Maybe Mark would know. Mark, what's the total revenue of the bond that it brings in?
Well, the total revenue is the annual revenue generated from the property tax rate, right?
Yeah.
And we've designed the bond issue and the tax rate and the revenue to issue these bonds to pay off the general fund monies. And so I would respond to that by looking at this column right here. So for example, I hope this is helpful. It's a complicated question because we're shifting our debt, our city debt, from essentially the city, the town, general fund in this case, to the property tax, right?
Yeah.
So we're shifting that. So in this case here, here's our 20% money, and we're going to generate, in this case here, $140,000 in revenue. All good? See column six here?
Mm-hmm.
That's our revenue coming in. And then on our 6% money, the really important money to achieve our public policy objective of $400,000 a year through 29. And remember, in 29 or 30, we're going to pay the rest of it off, so we get $600,000, right? You remember this one here. The $600,000 here goes away in 2029 or 30. That's going to be very helpful for us. We're still going to need the $400,000 for our deficit, and we have a couple hundred thousand, of course, that maybe the city can use for additional contributions to the fire pension fund, unfunded liability, right? So to answer your question, that's the revenue coming in off our property tax base. So I don't know, let's just look at 25-26, that's $140,000. And if we go to our 6% money, there's another $550,000 rounding numbers. So $700,000 per year coming in off our property tax base all the way through 29/30. And so that's going to help us. With the fire service situation, the general fund pressure, and then we still, as you know, have to craft a plan at some point to address the unfunded, primarily fire liability, which has been brought into the conversation for transparency purposes. Appreciate your questions. It is something that needs to be addressed. It's been on the city's radar screen with their challenges over the years. It's been very difficult to manage. They are making their annual required contribution, so that's all good. Pensions are being paid. The pension debt could be growing because we're paying 730. And so we all know that over time, and maybe we come back and do some kind of another revenue adjustment in the future, right? We talked about that a little bit, to address the fire and the police unfunded public pension liability.
The unfunded liability is what, 2 million?
For fire. A little more than 2 million.
Mm-hmm. Is it 2 points?
2.6 million.
And then?
And 10.1 million for police.
10.1 million for police.
For a total of 12.7.
Okay. Now, that's kind of a, weren't we looking at fire, and then we were going to look at, I think, another $2.6 million?
Another 2 million.
Was it 2 million?
Mm-hmm.
So a total was about, the 2 million was for what?
To pay down the rest of the bond, the 2019 bond, and free up general fund dollars.
Hey, Lourdes, this is John. Can you repeat? Last week we discussed this. You know, if we pay down $2.6 million on the excise tax bond, it frees up $400,000. If we pay $2.6 million into PSPRS to pay off the fire unfunded liability, it frees up only like $200,000. So, I think we're kind of going down a rabbit hole when we keep talking about the PSPRS debt and all the other debt. All of that's calculated in when the city goes to get its bond rating, which is its basically credit report or credit score. So the bond companies, the bankers will look at all of that and assign the city a bond rating. And we're hoping for something in the A's to get, because that will give you the lowest rates, just like the higher credit score. But the paying down the PSPRS debt with $2.6 million in new general obligation money doesn't achieve what we're trying to achieve, which is to fund a full service fire department, regardless of the model.
Thank you, John.
Any further questions from anyone?
Well, Dennis, when you brought up the liquidation of all the South Tucson, we wouldn't begin to cover our
PRS even.
Yeah. So what's your concern there? We desperately need money.
This is
a way to get some of that money that we need, knowing that we're going to have to go back to taxpayers again and ask them for more. But where are you going with that, those concerns?
Well, you know, I think that the taxpayer doesn't really know the position of the city, for one thing. I don't know if that would change their perception of entering into more taxes if they see that the city is not functioning correctly financially.
Yeah. Well, I hear that. I mean, it's a concern of mine why I bring that up too, is like, are we asking, are you at all of a line of thinking, like, ask the people for more money to get us out of, to address the bigger issues,
well,
like elephant in the room?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think maybe we need to change management in the city. Because I remember when Vidari was here, things like that, he was reaching out to businesses and trying to get more businesses and things in here. And I don't really see that there's really any real concerted effort to really work on bringing in more revenue to the city.
Well, that's out of our scope of work here.
I think we're way off focus. Our thing is just to worry about the bond, and if we're gonna direct it to the city council, and then it's up to the voters.
Sure.
I mean,
you're right.
Yeah. It's way off track. I'm sorry, but I don't want everybody's feeling.
Yeah, and I don't think we're the place to really discuss that, because we don't have the authority on that.
Yeah,
regard.
We're just here to see if.
Okay.
I think basically this is to help South Tucson try to get on its feet right now. Whether it's going to work or not, that's up to city council, city manager.
Okay.
So without the police and fire retirement, if we didn't include that, what would be the total request?
Well, I think that the total request should still be on the 6% that goes towards all other. I think it should still be the 2.6 and the 2 million.
The 2 million is for fire, right?
Correct.
And then 2.6?
For fire as well. Because the 2.6 only gives you savings through 2029 of $400,000.
Right.
And after that, the payment again jumps up to $600,000. If you add the additional $2 million, then you at least have consistent savings throughout.
Yeah, and then you can refund. You can figure out what you're going to do with the rest of it.
Yeah.
And restructure your city around it for now.
Correct.
You've got time to rebuild, basically. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. You'd have that consistent $400,000 cash flow to help with the fire service.
So basically, all we're looking for is to say if it goes to city council, if it's a good deal, then it's a good deal. Other than that, there's not much else to talk about, because all the other politics involved doesn't involve us unless we vote.
Yeah. Now, if you have the general obligation bond, that once that is paid off by the taxpayers, then that is sunsetted or whatever?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's not an ongoing tax. If you go the other way with property tax, that's ongoing. So if they see that once this is paid off and they're not going to be charged any more taxes, you know, they're not going to be charged for this, it's going to be paid off. Maybe
correct.
That's an incentive for people to vote for it. I don't know. How long is it going to take to pay it off?
15 years.
It's a 15-year.
It's 15 years.
15?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I say we vote and send it to city council and let them vote on it.
I guess, you know, at the last meeting, I was ready. Halfway through the meeting, I was like, okay, I'm done. I want to support this. I know that was what my council member wanted me to do. I'm still there. I know that it would be best if we were unanimous in our support for this, so we could take a strong, really awesome committee of people to say we all want this to happen.
How I look at it is it's cut and dry. If you want South Tucson to have a fighting chance, you vote yes on the bond. If you want us to keep it the way it's been running, and, you know, without money,
yeah,
it's pretty cut and dry.
I guess we want to ask Dennis and anyone else that might be less than 100% committed to this, like, is there anything we can do to get you behind that?
Well, I'm wondering, there's $1 million for the fire truck, and I'm wondering if, for example, we could go to City of Tucson and buy a truck with a half life on it or something like that, for like half the price or something, and the negotiations with them to reduce it by like about 500,000.
I think that our recommendation goes to the council, and then they decide which route they're going. They may contract with the city of Tucson, and they might decide that.
That's all out of our hands. Okay. It's up to the voters, and it's up to city council members.
Veronica or it's just remember that the 20% money, which is for capital expenditures, is up to $1.5 million. So if we determine that if the voters approve bonds up to $1.5 million on a capital expenditure money, we don't have to issue it all.
Right.
If we only need 750,000 of that, we issue 750 at the current point to do whatever we need to do. You know, remodel the fire station, buy the truck, and we still have the 750,000 in authorized bonds that we could issue later on if we need additional capital improvements related to fire department. So we don't want to under authorize, I guess,
right.
Just in case there isn't a truck available for say 500,000 versus $1 million, or that the truck costs 1.2 million because prices are all going up or whatever. So just understand, remember that this is authorization to issue the bonds. Doesn't necessarily mean that all those bonds get issued, and that if the city issues bonds less than what it's authorized, those numbers that Mark is providing are actually going to go down a little bit on the monthly cost.
I didn't understand that. Thank you.
We don't have to spend all that money.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It depends on what type of fire truck you get, too.
Yeah. And that's a council decision, how they want to spend it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm good with that.
Do we have to do this?
Yeah, does the language have to be part of our recommendation? Does it have to be finalized to be included in our recommendation?
I think you can vote on it.
Did you hear that, Mark, John? The question was the language that you have presented here, will that be what's going to be presented to council? Or are you have to go back and...
Were you going to modify the language for the ballot?
The ballot language, Mark, if you could flip to that. Authorized to issue in the principal up to X dollars.
So you'll
see
that
first sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So, because typically in bond sales, you know, let's just say, you take another city or town. I think Marana was mentioned and Sarajevo was mentioned that they're issuing $60 million in bonds. Well, they're not going to issue $60 million in one fell swoop because projects are going to come online over many years. And so maybe you issue 10 or 15 initially, or 20, and then another 20. And so over time, the bonds are sold in order to bring money into the budget to spend it on projects. So this is obviously on a much smaller scale, but if we decide, or if the council decides it doesn't need the whole 1.5, it still has that authority to do that. But it doesn't issue necessarily all at once, unless we need to.
So this would be, Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Sorry.
So here's our draft ballot question, right? We talked about this a little bit. This is what you would see in the voter pamphlet and in the voting booth.
Right.
I know last week we had talked about if that second bullet point had to be so specific. I think, were you going to find out about that?
Yeah, so this would be about $6,120,000 for now, right? And then... let's go through this real quick, if you don't mind. And Paul Gales, the city's bond attorney, will have to approve everything we kind of go through. But to give them direction, we would have the dollar amount that we talked about. I'm coming up with, Lourdes, check this for me, $6,120,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and remember, Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's our fire apparatus and fire station for 1.5. And then we get to our 6% money. Here's your 1.5 for the new money, I call it, right? And John's exactly right. That's authorization. And then as the city fine-tunes that number by hopefully getting good bids or a used truck or what have you, then we can figure that out. This gives us the authorization, which I think is smart, if I'm in your chair. This inflation's out of control, as you know, and the bids that we're opening are a little mind-boggling. It's nobody's fault, it's the way it is. And then we had our 6% money, right, 2.6. And then we have to wait a few years as we build capacity by paying off debt and hopefully you grow your tax base. It's another way to generate revenue, as you all know. How can we grow our tax base to bring revenues into the city? Sales tax revenues. That's what our Arizona cities live and die off of. So it's our job as cities to promote economic development and make it happen. I know your city's working hard on that, right? And so here's our 2.6 and then our 2.020. So I came up with $6,120,000. So that would be the amount in the ballot question. And then it would say provide funds for fire projects, including acquisition of necessary vehicles and equipment and repair and renovation of the fire station. Everybody good with that? Or did you want to change that a little bit?
I think we're all in agreement for that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that include the option of even contracting for service?
Mm-hmm. No, that's capital.
Whether it's us doing the work or paying for it to be done, it goes towards the same improvements we need.
Okay.
On both sides.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would be the 1.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess in one of the economic models, the city would work with under the Tucson situation, which hasn't been determined yet, the two agencies would probably work together, I would think, communicate and come up with a plan to make the appropriate improvements and to get the right type of equipment to have a very solid fire service in your city. Okay, so that's our 20% money as we've been calling it. The second bullet point that Paul came up with is free up revenues to be used to pay for fire protection services that are currently pledged to the payment of the first excise tax purchase agreement executed by the city in 2019 by providing funding for refinancing or paying off. I like the word paying down, but for refinancing such purchase agreement, so little legalese, right? The proceeds of which refinanced the costs, and I guess we have to put this in here, of the prior situation of settling a lawsuit and previous construction, renovation, equipping, improving and or acquiring land for various city facilities, including the city hall and library.
Okay,
so it's kind of a two-part bullet point. One, for the new money, two, for the refinance of the 19 financing that had previously financed critical, highly essential public infrastructure needs of your city.
Mark, do you think there's any way we can make that language a little more concise?
Yeah, I think we could get Paul on the phone, Lourdes, and do you want to send over some thoughts? When you say more concise, what are you thinking?
John, if I may, Mark and Lourdes, I missed the last meeting, so just kind of trying to catch up here a little bit. Mark, it's Veronica. What is the purpose of having to mention the lawsuit? Just curiosity, not that it's not important, but I'm just wondering, like, you know, like, is it so a portion or of what's getting paid by the voters is going to be going towards a lawsuit? I would think that if I was just an everyday person.
I thought the same thing. We're going to have to check with Paul, but I would say, could we come up with the following? Free up revenues. Do we like that term? Free up general fund revenues to be used to pay for fire protection services. Would that also include emergency management? Emergency medical.
Of course, that's part of the fire service.
Yeah, that's part of
emergency medical. Or just, why can't you just say fire?
Okay.
Sounds better if you had emergency.
Okay, fire protect that are currently pledged to the payment.
Fire EMS?
Yeah.
Fire EMS?
Okay.
I don't know
what
EMS.
Okay. Okay, well, prior 2019 financing. So I think what we would do, Lord Veronica, is let's check with Paul and let's redo this. I think what you're saying, the committee's saying, is there any way to simplify it? Fair?
Yes,
and possibly not have to reference things like even the lawsuit. I think that that might confuse people, being that it was a lawsuit from the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you want to take it out.
I would
okay.
Put it in.
And it's not
if it's okay with the committee, maybe we can have
it's
a call tomorrow, as schedules permit, with Paul to redo this to make it a little more simple for our voters to understand. I agree with you.
Okay.
Now, most of the explanation is going to be in the voter pamphlet that we're going
to
work on that will explain why we're doing this. We're going to have, as we mentioned before, for the voters, we're going to outline the situation that you're all aware of, obviously. We're probably going to prepare a Q&A format.
Mm-hmm.
A question and answer format. So Rita's doing this, as we mentioned to you, to help our voters understand what they're voting for. And so we'll work with staff and all the professionals, glad to share it with the committee as appropriate. But we'll get through a lot of that in the voter pamphlet, and we'll try to simplify this as best we can. But we need to have our bond attorney kind of advise us so we don't get into a pickle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I have a question.
Yes?
Where it says refinancing such purchase agreement, can we put in there refinancing and in parentheses paying down to make it a little bit more clear for the voters?
Yeah, we can ask. We can ask the bond attorney that question.
And also this, an acquiring land for various city facilities.
Well, that's tied to the previous use of the 2019 bonds.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that whole last sentence.
Oh, the whole last sentence
is all. It's the combination of all the debt the use of the money that was in the 2019 bond.
Okay, so we can maybe put combination of debt and then put that down.
I think we probably ought to wait to see what language is recommended, and then we can try to ask for any kind of adjustments that we might think might work, but. I think we almost have to get the legalese that's
mm-hmm.
going to pass the muster.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
But we understand what you're asking for, and I completely agree with all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do our best to work with the bond attorney, and John will be helpful, as well as staff, to see if we can simplify this for our voting public.
Does the committee have to agree on the language in order for us to send a recommendation to City Council, or can City Council move this forward without us? I mean, what do you...
I think it would be simpler for us to
look at it.
Yeah,
because they're going to struggle.
They're going to
struggle. I don't necessarily think that the committee has to agree on the exact language. I think it could be part of the general recommendation that it, you know, that the language include certain terms or certain concepts. If the committee wanted to vote to make a recommendation tonight, obviously you wouldn't be able to do that. If you wanted to wait till next week, and wait till we get revised ballot language, then I suppose you could. It's really sort of up to you, but I don't think it's necessary.
I think that some of the members did express, John, that, you know, it would be easier for them to, you know, kind of proof the language, just make sure that it's concise and it's understandable, especially since they've been tracking along with this entire presentation from the start in more depth.
Okay, that's fine then. So if the committee wants to recommend specific ballot language, then you should probably set another meeting for next Monday. We still do a report to the council tomorrow if the committee wants to sort of give the council a status report, and then wait till next week to make a final vote on a final recommendation. That's your call as the committee.
I move that we do that.
How does everyone else feel about that?
To make the recommendation?
No, to next week. Yeah.
Second. We do it next week.
Yeah.
So then it would be.
Okay. It would be the 13th.
Yeah. Okay.
And if the staff has the proposed language, maybe they could email it to us so we can look at it before the meeting.
We can get another draft of the ballot question, turn around tomorrow, and ship it out.
Sounds good.
That sound good?
I mean, if that's the case, do we have to wait?
Do we want to meet, like, Thursday here?
I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, it wouldn't matter unless you're going to have another council meeting next week.
No. Because... No,
if you wait for the regular, mm-hmm, if you wait for the regular cycle,
yes,
then you can still have a meeting next week with this committee.
Yeah, so you still have another Monday before the next council meeting on the 21st. So you guys have time to look at the material.
And that gives the council plenty of time if you present the recommendation, the vote on a recommendation on the 21st,
mm-hmm,
then the next meeting the council can adopt the election resolution, which is plenty of time for the Pima County Recorder,
mm-hmm,
to get the ballot language and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't rush it, I guess, is the point. If you're more comfortable waiting another week.
Well, I think it would be a stronger recommendation if we had everything buttoned up,
mm-hmm,
correct,
for the city council.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay. Can we look at the calendar for
next meeting? Next Monday?
Can't do it next Monday.
Okay. Next
Someone
Tuesday. Will report tomorrow an update to the council.
Well, do you have a council meeting next Monday?
We have a meeting.
There's one tomorrow.
What's
right?
You can do a report for this, one of your reports, just like a very general report.
Yeah, I won't jump into specifics. I'll just tell them you guys how many times you've met,
mm-hmm,
and what it is that you guys are waiting for now. Just language. Okay.
And now you tentatively plan to bring this before Mayor Council at the next regular scheduled meeting on May 21st for consideration. What was the recommendation from this committee?
Okay.
Your meeting is May 21st?
Yeah, the next, after tomorrow, the next meeting. So this
mm-hmm
committee has time to review the ballot language so that by the time we have the May 21st meeting, you'll have it all.
So when would this committee meet?
Next week sometime.
If you are available on the
15th.
Yeah, the
13th. Mm-hmm. Is everyone available on the 13th? Are you, Dan?
It's a Monday.
Monday.
13th. No, I can be on it.
Mark, would you be available for next Monday, the 13th?
Yes.
Yes. How about you, John?
Let me check, make sure. I think so.
Same time, same place.
I would be available until 6 o'clock by Zoom.
How about we have it at 5?
Let's be quick. Do you
want to
have it
at 5?
I think Karen works though, and it's hard for her to get here at 5, right? That's why we set it for 5:30. The rest of us are kind of.
This is why we made it.
Same time, same.
Anytime's fine.
How about Tuesday? Are you guys available on Tuesday?
Tuesday's fine.
Would y'all be willing to start the meeting at 5? Because...
I mean, it works for me.
Does that work for you? Be there for the whole thing?
I could work for me.
Okay. Well, we'll have quorum, so...
Yeah, she might walk in a little late, so...
Okay, so next Monday, the 13th at 5 p.m. Okay.
Can you give her an update? What happened today?
Well, we'll have the minutes. And then she'll put the minutes, and she can read all the, you know...
Were we planning on doing the open meeting law training today?
I don't know if it's necessary at this point.
It's not necessary at this point? Okay.
I honestly think you guys are doing fine. I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, and then you guys have all had the committee discussion, or did you guys want to discuss more?
I think we're good.
You're good? Mm-hmm. Okay, and then action agenda. You guys will be postponing the action to 5:13 next week?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you all just had consensus. No, you guys made a motion for the calendar to meet on the 13th, and it was... First motion by Dennis Luttrell, seconded by Dwight Metzger. Okay, and do we have to vote on that, or?
I think it's a consensus.
It's consensus.
Right? Yeah, consensus.
Consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Adjournment.
Okay, so then the last item is adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third.
Fourth. Motion passes.
23. Wonderful. Thank you, John.
Good night.